Good morning and a very warm welcome to this service of worship coming to you from the community of St Andrew's and St George's West Church in Edinburgh on this, the seventh and last Sunday of the season of Easter. You will find our order of service on our website and you're invited to join in the responses which are printed in bold type. My name is Rosie McGee, I'm the minister, and you will hear several other voices this morning. Leading our opening prayer is Pat McCarroll. David Dow reads a reflection on the stories that Jesus told, and our prayers of intercession are led by Zelda Dow. The vocal ensemble this morning comprises Eleanor Cousins, Eleanor Wilson, Caitlin McGillivray, Drew Crichton, Tim Cooper and Andrew Carville. Our flautists are Laura Chaffee and Clara Galea. And the service is produced by Andrew Carville. This Sunday is the one closest to Ascension Day, when we recognise Christ's return to heaven. It's a day that gets often somewhat overlooked, yet there can be no celebration of Pentecost without Christ's ascension. Between Ascension and Pentecost, we at St Andrew's and St George's West are part of a global movement of prayer called Thy Kingdom Come, praying that more people would know the light of Christ in their lives. And we pray for others, knowing that Christ prays for us and prays that we would be one. In that spirit, I invite you to join in our responsive call to worship. Sisters and brothers, we are one. Wherever we are in this city, nation, and world, we are one. With gratitude, trusting in the one who holds our world and our lives securely, we join together in worship. And we worship God in the singing together of hymn number 436, Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning.
Thank you. are joined together in our opening prayer.
Lord, have mercy.
Eternal God, there is none before you, none above you. And this morning, we are glad to take our place alongside those who right now, on earth and in heaven, are raising their voices to praise you. God of Easter joy and ascension glory, our days are filled with strangeness. Our world is filled with hurt. Our hearts are filled with anxiety. Help us cast our inward unrest upon you. Help us rest our anxiety in your love.
Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Lord, when our thoughts become too tightly focused, may they be widened to embrace new ways and opportunities. When our science has yet to find answers, or the story seems too difficult to grasp, may our souls still know your peace.
Lord, have mercy.
God of unity and limitless variety, we give thanks that through you we can all be as one. Remind us that the strength of your abiding love is beyond measure, no matter what. Help us to see that any love of infinite power will never overcome the power of your infinite love. We give you our thanks for so much, especially that you came down to us and will, according to your loving promise and purpose, sustain and lift us back up to you. And may our spirits be lifted now as we pray together the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Wednesday before last, a mallard duck was seen walking down George Street with her 11 ducklings waddling behind her. Not a typical thing to see in Edinburgh city centre. We got to talking about it at our 11s' virtual cafe, and it prompted several stories of unusual duck sightings. Good stories lose nothing in the telling. There's a tradition in storytelling. Storytellers remember the storyteller who first inspired them. And this person is known as their mama duck. For followers of Jesus, he is our mama duck, so to speak. Jesus loved to tell stories. He inspires us and we retell them and reinterpret them for our own times and lives. You will now hear a piece called He Was a Storyteller. As you listen, think about which of Jesus' stories speaks into your life right now.
He was a storyteller. He drew pictures with words. A tiny seed growing into a huge tree. A lamp under a bed. A lost sheep crying. Buckets of fish. Hungry birds gobbling up corn. A house built on rock. Workmen grumbling. He was a storyteller, and he told great stories. Once there was a traveller, and the bandits attacked him. One day a king threw a great banquet, and no one turned up. In a certain town there was a judge, and there was also a widow. There was this man, and he had two sons, and they were very different. He was a storyteller, and he asked his listeners questions. Who was neighbour to this man? Why do you call me good? What do you think the owner of the vineyard would do? Are you jealous because God is generous? He was a storyteller, and he knew how to deliver punchlines that stuck in your memory. No servant can be the slave of two masters. Whatever is hidden will be brought out into the open. Whatever you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me. Your heart will always be where your riches are. He was a storyteller. With words he could draw pictures. And people listened. And people remembered. And some of them followed him. They called him the Word of God.
We now hear the Word of God as it is found in John chapter 17, verses 1 to 11. This chapter concludes Jesus' final speech to his disciples that began back in chapter 13. Jesus prays to God and prays for us. Let the swirling poetry of Jesus' prayer lift you up with him and to him. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one.
Just
Sunday, we were thinking about the pattern of our days and how important it is to develop new rituals that can help shape our days for the better. It's amazing how small things can make a big difference for good and for ill. I don't know about you, but under lockdown, something that in more usual circumstances I would have taken in my stride can knock me sideways, can get all out of proportion. A misunderstanding over an email, phone or video call. A hurt given or taken when none was intended. Just running out of milk for morning coffee. Well, that's best avoided. It's so helpful during this Mental Health Awareness Week for us to be able to acknowledge to one another that our mental health is, of course, impacted by this prolonged lockdown. It would be strange if it weren't. Our lives have been so dislocated. It can be hard to keep things in perspective through the fog. Ascension Day is helpful for giving us some perspective. Ascension is about the bigger picture, God's bigger picture. It calls us to go up, to find higher ground, to get a more elevated viewpoint. More than a bird's eye view, it's a heaven's eye view of the pattern of God's plan. God, coming to earth in the form of Jesus, is now returning to heaven as the risen Christ. It's a U-shaped journey of descent, then ascent, towards wholeness and completion, departure and return. It's a pattern repeated throughout the Bible. Jacob leaves home and returns after a 20-year exile. The prodigal abandons home and returns repentant, much to the joy of his father. This biblical pattern of journey and return is helpful when we don't know if we're coming or going, or when we just feel stuck in our story and can't see the road ahead. Even as the pattern of our days have changed so dramatically, the biblical pattern assures us that we are still on the path. Just like those early Christians, we are people of the way. The distinctive pattern of living the way can be represented visually by a labyrinth. There is a finger labyrinth printed in your order of service today so that you can see what I'm talking about. There used to be an advertisement, "Let your fingers do the walking." Well, when you may not be able to go outdoors, you can let your finger do the walking along the path of the labyrinth. You'll find that a labyrinth, however confusing it looks, has only one path that weaves its way to the centre and back out again. Departure and return. There's only one entrance. There are no dead ends, no crossing paths with different ways to turn. This path leads unfailingly to the centre. The labyrinth It's an ancient design within the Christian tradition. Churches created labyrinths to represent the spiritual journey. Many cathedrals in Europe designed labyrinths grooved into walls as finger paths or into floor tiles. People would slowly walk them in prayer, seeking to be open to God as they completed the turns of the labyrinth. And in the present day, labyrinths are still being created. When I moved to Dunfermline, I got to explore the lovely new Carnegie Library there, which was opened in 2017. And I was delighted to find out that it had a beautiful labyrinth in the garden. I remember walking it one crisp November day, overlooked by the Abbey. But then when I read the library brochure, I was somewhat dismayed to see it described as a maze rather than a labyrinth. And there is all the difference in the world. The image of labyrinth is in stark contrast to that of a maze. A maze has multiple paths, most of which lead nowhere. There are forced choices leading to anxiety, confusion, dead ends, and a sense of being lost. Mazes have high hedges or walls, so you can feel hemmed in with no sense of where you're going. The devious design of a maze is intended to confuse and puzzle, while the open form of a labyrinth is intended to give a sense of the bigger picture, the wideness of the horizon. Labyrinths and mazes. The problem is that as far back as the Greek myths, the labyrinth is often universally confused with a maze, even though their purpose is completely different. Ironically, some dictionaries even incorrectly define one as the other. Life today can feel very much like a maze. On Ascension Sunday, God gives us a fresh invitation to ascend, to lift our hearts to higher ground. God invites us to live the labyrinth, not the maze. And before you think I'm making a mountain out of a linguistic molehill, listen to these words. Robert Ferrey writes that our spiritual quest can be summarized as a single obligation to switch from life as maze to life as labyrinth. In a maze, we lose ourselves. In a labyrinth, we find ourselves. Just as the words for maze and labyrinth often get confused, there can be much confusion swirling around us and within us these days. Our thinking can work overtime and go into maze mind. And in a maze, we deny ourselves the expansive, generous living that makes for God's kingdom. That requires us to switch to living the labyrinth. And living the labyrinth is more than a mindset. It's a spiritual orientation. We step out in faith. As a local congregation and as a national church, we keep walking the way. We will break new ground. In labyrinth living, we can be gentle with ourselves and with others. We know that there's no straying from the path or wrong turn that is beyond God's redemption. God's story, that U-shaped journey leading to wholeness and completion, is our story too. And we light the way as we pray for others to find the path of Christ. Every act of kindness, forgiveness, and mercy helps turn the maze into a labyrinth, dismantles the walls, and helps us ascend. We're walking the way together in so many new ways, big and small, through this pandemic. The means may be different, but it's the same path. On the way, when others are weary, we carry them until they can walk again. If anyone gets lost or is ready to give up, we go looking for that sister or brother. Meanwhile, God wears an apron and prepares a feast for us. A table awaits just beyond the next outcrop. We know the way leads, just like a labyrinth, to God's heart and hearth where we belong. No pandemic can change that. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Lord of life, we come to you with our prayers for others. Storytelling God, you know our stories better than we know them ourselves. You know how many of us have stories which we feel we can share only with you. Bring to the surface the stories of others that we need to listen to and act upon. The stories of those grieving lives cut short. The stories of those who are unwell, mentally or physically. The stories of those who feel abandoned and left behind. The stories of those exhausted by long shifts caring for others. The stories of those who feel they have failed someone they cared for. The stories of those who cannot forget difficult situations at work. Those who feel that their story has become impossible to tell. Those who feel too guilty to tell their story. Those who feel they are not allowed to tell their own story. And those who have no one to speak to about their lives. Those who have achieved much and need encouragement to speak about their achievements. May we begin to tell new stories of how we have got better at actively listening to the stories of others, of how our lives can be enriched by sharing our stories with others, of how the lost can be found if we open up more to their stories, of how we can rebuild on your firm foundation of justice and equality, of the worth to be found in stories about searching and finding. God of discovery, help us find the strength to discover what needs to be brought to light and what needs to be changed. Help us to be better listeners, to show more willingness to listen to the stories of others and to share our own with them. May such sharing help build your kingdom on earth. We give thanks to Jesus, the living word, the living story of your great drama of salvation among us, in whose name we pray. Amen.
As you journey into the rest of this day, know that Jesus prays for you and for your protection. Hear these words of blessing. May God the Creator guide your footsteps. May God the Redeemer lead you on your journey. May God the Sustainer companion you this day and evermore. Amen.